Do you know why, when Christ left this world to go back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit? Do you know what the Holy Spirit is doing on earth today? He is here for definite reasons. Please stay with us while we consider several of them from the Gospel of John. Our thoughts are turned today to the Comforter in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15, where Jesus said in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, Comforter means helper. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we read, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The child of God is never alone, for there is a mighty helper to lead through every calamity of life." Why it was essential for the Lord to depart before the Comforter would come, we do not know. We can only conclude that this was the plan of an all-wise and gracious God. Let us not misconstrue, however, to think that the Holy Spirit was not at work in the world until Pentecost. The Spirit has always been here, for without him, it would have been impossible for anyone to become a believer. But following the ascension of Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon people in a new and unusual way. His presence was so obvious that enemies of the cross declared of several of the disciples in Acts 17, verse 6, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither." Notice an important phase of the Holy Spirit's mission in the world in verse 8. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." While the Spirit's particular ministry to his church is that of helper, to the world and the unsaved, he is the reprover, convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In verse 9, we read of sin because they believe not on me. You see, the worst sin in all the world is failure to believe on Christ, rejection of God's Son. This sin nailed Jesus to the cross. The Holy Spirit came to convict lost and dying men of this sin, that they might be saved and have everlasting life. Verse 10, "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more." God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, apart from the experience of salvation, man has no righteousness of his own. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 64 of his book, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." God is the only righteous one. The Holy Spirit has come to convince a lost world of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Of course, before one can be convinced of his need of righteousness, he must be convicted of his sinfulness. Thus, the Holy Spirit came into the world, first of all, to convince men of sin, then of righteousness. Verse 11, but this is not all we see from this verse, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. This refers not only to future, but to present judgment. Every unbeliever is under the judgment of God at this moment. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Thus we see three great facts which the Holy Spirit is making known to the unsaved in our day. First, they are sinners and need to be saved. Secondly, Christ has provided righteousness for believers through his death and resurrection. And thirdly, the result of unbelief is continued and ultimate judgment. How essential that attention be given to this important ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus continues by saying In verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You see, Christian truth is progressive. One does not master the contents of the Bible by one reading. He must read it over and over again, searching the Scriptures, seeking to get the message of God. Each time we read the Bible, we see new truths. As we grow in grace, we are made more ready to receive God's teachings. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The teaching process would continue even though Christ would depart. The Holy Spirit would be not only a helper and a convictor, but a teacher. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit has all knowledge, for he searcheth all things. Likewise, he reveals to those who are yielded to his control all that is essential for us to know of spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come, Jesus said. Prophecy seems to be a subject of extreme confusion to many. It is not confusing to the Holy Spirit. As we study prophecy with Spirit-controlled hearts and minds, God's future plans for the world and humanity will become discernible. Notice verses 14 and 15. Preeminently, the Holy Spirit makes Christ more real and precious to us. Jesus said, he shall glorify me, Jesus. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. A Spirit-filled life will always be a Christ-centered life. It seems to be the very special ministry of the Holy Spirit, as far as believers are concerned, to make Christ more wonderful to us. It is God's eternal purpose for all believers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God desires each of us to be more and more like Christ. The Spirit did not come to speak of himself, but rather to glorify Jesus, our Savior and Lord. It may be that the Holy Spirit has been working in your life, endeavoring to draw you from the things that have turned you away from Christ. The Spirit has been pleading with you to come out from among them and be ye separate. Maybe you have been too busy to hear his voice, or because of the practice of a certain sin, you've resisted his wooings. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul, found in Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is the Holy Spirit's concern for you, that you will yield wholly to Christ and his control. Do it, dear believer. Give Christ the right of way. And if you're not a believer, you need to be. Give Christ the right of way to your life by opening your heart to him and saying, Jesus, come into my life and save me. I know I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved. Christ will respond to your call. Heavenly Father, we pray that the Spirit of God may take full charge of those of us who love you. God, crowd out those things that stand in the way. May Jesus have full possession of each of us, I pray. And for those who need the Savior, God, may the Spirit of God convict of sin and judgment and righteousness and move upon them to the end that they will cry out unto you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.